AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Pod podcast, whatever that means.
AJ, Bridge and Spider, it's the podcast, and the big fella put the boots back on for the footy.
Yeah, assistant coach at Southport under 12, so I'm going to start doing a street talk with a few of the players, and I ask them what chores do they actually do at home. And also, Malcolm Turnbull joined us, as he does every Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday means Bridge's diary. We went back to only a few years ago where I met a bloke on the beach and my dogs decided to do turds in front of him. Yeah, it didn't really work out. And speaking of married at first bite, we want to get as many dogs as we can married next Sunday, the 4th of March. And we asked, where do you draw the line with your dogs? On the bed, on the couch, in the house? Lots of calls.
Here we go. It's AJ, Bridge and Spider's Name That Year.
Pieces of history that Bridge and Spider are pitted against each other to decide the year. You right to get play?
Oh, we are. Ready to go.
We're going to the movies first.
Up. Yes, I love movies.
Here we go. Name that year. It's working a treat so far.
Zero barrier's about to be breached. 1 minute.
Come on, press that button.
We're going back and do it ourselves.
Just don't. Wait 1 minute.
Dan, we're about to cross the threshold.
Come on, Harry, press the button.
Colonel, I'm asking you just 1 more minute.
Armageddon.
Oh. You know, movies was green in the Trivia Pursuit game. I love movies.
Was it green, was it?
No, I don't know.
How do I still fall for your crap? Like, 8 years later, I still, like a little kid. Oh, yeah. Was it, Peter?
Armageddon.
I'm not a big action blockbuster guy. A guy.
Yeah, I'm not a big girl either. But, yes, I am.
Yeah.
Happening? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't like Armageddon. I don't like any of these.
I don't think anyone likes Armageddon, as in you don't want that to happen.
I'm going to say Spider, 2002.
No.
Hasn't Nostradamus predicted this was supposed to happen by now?
Well, let's ask Rod. He's pretty much our Nostradamus.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Hang on, don't guess yet. No. Bridge, 2008.
No. Come on, Rockin.
It was the late 90s, I think, because Aerosmith had the song Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
That's right.
I don't know, 1998?
Yes.
You are a freak.
Yes, I get that a lot, actually.
Wow, that's
but not
good.
For all the right reasons.
He's a machine.
It's good. It's great.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, don't get enough of that.
Here we go. Name that year.
Don't shake your head. Come on.
I never heard. What's the song?
Urge Overkill.
Urge Overkill, that's a great band.
Yeah, but what's the song?
I don't know.
So what's the question?
What year was that song?
That we don't know.
No, it's called Sister Havana.
Yeah, yes.
Wasn't a bad racehorse either, Sister Havana.
Oh,
but
really?
That's another story.
Mm.
Sister Havana from Urge Overkill. They did a they did a version of Neil Diamond's Girl.
You'll be a woman soon. And that was on I've got that. That's that was on Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, that's right.
When that was actually if he did the 98, he would have gone a little bit earlier, a little bit later. I'm gonna say it was 96.
Can you say your name?
Spider 96.
Bridge 94.
No.
So I was in around money.
Mm, yeah, Rockin? Think so.
Urge Overkill, it just reminds me of a soft drink commercial with blokes running on the beach for some reason.
Please let's not say you dream of this song.
it's just the whole genre of the 1990.
No, Bridge is closest to the pin. 1993, Bridge said 94.
There we are, senior 93, I was.
Peter, the pumpkin eater, you have to get this. Name that year.
Here it is! The Brisbane Lions have done it! The Hawks, the Bombers, the Crows, they couldn't do it in the 80s and the 90s, but the Lions have gone back to back to back to become the greatest side of the modern era.
Back to back to back, the three-peat. What year was the three-peat for the Lions?
I reckon they got beaten in 04, so I'd say it was 03.
Yes, well done. Congratulations.
I didn't even concentrate on that. I knew.
Spider 03.
Well done. Well done.
He hasn't touched the ground.
Yeah, a little bit happening in sport at the moment. The Gold Coast Suns announced their leadership group to help out their two co-captains in Tommy Lynch and Steve May. So no real big surprises there for a leadership group. Me personally, I'm not a fan of them. I reckon you should just have your captain. But each to their own. That's the way sporting codes are going these days.
I don't really get it either. There's an old saying, and it's in Radio 2, Delling. You know this one. Concentration of force. Mm. And it was an American saying.
Yeah.
And I think you just need that one person to look up to, otherwise it dilutes it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Well, I understand why they do it. It's because they have all different demographics in there, and they also have players that play in different positions. So you've got a leader all over the ground. So you've got somebody who can control different situations in different spots. But still, I think they're overrated.
Well, I copped it from the captain yesterday, but that's another story. Yeah.
We all copped it from the captain yesterday.
Exactly. We're the leadership group that copped it from the captain. But interesting. Australia back to the top of the 2020 in cricket. And cricket just keeps going and going and going. But Chris Lynn.
And going.
But Chris Lynn, an Aussie cricketer, he was told, this is what I don't understand, and congratulations, because he did do it. He dived for a ball yesterday to stop a boundary, to stop runs, which is your job in cricket. Mm. But he was told not to dive for the ball because he's got crook shoulders.
Right.
So he's dived for the ball, done his shoulder.
Yeah.
And now he's got to have an operation, dislocated it. But it's going to cost him $2 million. Because he misses out now on playing in the Pakistan Super League in Dubai in a couple of weeks. And then later on in the year, the Indian Premier League, where he's getting $1 million, over $1 million to play 6 weeks of cricket.
Oh my
God. Because he's such a good cricketer and he puts on a good show. But without good shoulders, he can't put on the show. So diving for the ball, which he was told not to do, has cost him $2 million. And people are going, he's mad.
Oh.
I'm saying, no, if you take the pitch, you should. He should have died for that ball, 100%.
Well, or else he shouldn't have played. Isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly right.
It's like if you didn't do a specky.
Exactly. Or if he just watched that ball run to the fence for four and go, no, they told me not to dive, we would have been absolutely giving it to him. So, Chris Lynn, I know it's cost you probably $2 million doing your shoulder, but you did the right thing for Australia 100%.
Well, it's like if you didn't give that much feedback to your players, you'd be about 100 grand richer.
Well and truly, 87,500.
Still the most fined in AFL?
Yeah, and I am counting. So we're going to get a GoFundMe page for Chris Lynn. Let's get up to a couple of bucks and help him out.
I'm pleased you said take the pitch.
This is the story of a girl. Another chapter from Bridget's diary.
Yes, a little piece where we drift back into Bridget Daly's life and find out what's going on in her diary.
Oh, we do love this time. And, Bridge, what year are we going back to? Is it the 80s? Is it the 90s,
2000s? It's not that far, actually, back. This is the year 2012. Dear diary.
I might know this.
Well, believe it or not, I'm single and ready to mingle. I'm in my own world, loving life, and decided today to take Ted and Walty Shih Tzu and Jemima the Pugilier to the Palm Beach leash-free area. And approaching me was a really cute guy. He had on a singlet. He was nice and brown, surfy guy, blonde hair, blue eyes, around my age. I'm thinking, where's your partner? You're on your own. He had a really cute staffy too, and I said to Ted, go on, mate, go on, go for that dog, whatever you do, Ted, if you're going to talk to any dog on this beach today, go and talk to this one. Yes! Ted went the north end of the southbound dog, and I thought, I'm in here. So we did the obligatory, you know, talk, oh, sorry about Ted, sorry, oh. I'm thinking, Ted's out of his league and so am I at this stage. It was quite a cute female staffy. I said, oh, I like your dog. And anyway, he's talking, I'm chatting, nervous, no eye contact. I'm thinking, this guy's so cute. We did the obligatory small dog talk. What's your dog's name? What's yours? I'm waiting for him to say our dog or named him. But no. And he said, oh, my dog's Pushka.
Ooh.
And I thought, I'm on track here. He's hot, he's single, he's fit, he loves dogs. That's it, I can see it already. We're going to be a three-dog family. I'm already seeing our beach wedding at sunset with our three dogs as the groomsmen and bridesmaid. Then suddenly, Ted started the dance. The circle, as I call it. and so did Jemima. It's called The Circle of the Turd Toscana.
Oh.
Jemima also lets out, as she always does, an almighty pal torpedo wind at the same time.
Ooh.
Great. What do I do? So as I'm talking to this guy, I'm also having to bend down and scoop up two loads of turd.
Yep.
Quite awkward. Then I'm chatting with him now with two bags of poo accessories, not the kind of bags I like to be holding. So he decided that he better throw the ball for his dog all of a sudden and walk away. I went to shake his hand and for some reason he refused. So there I was, standing at Palm Beach with two warm parcels of poo and sand. I stalked him at the same time down at the beach for the next week, but I never saw him again. I'm sure from now on I'm known as the Turd Tosca Girl.
Very disturbing news, of course, coming out of a Gold Coast school yesterday, St. Stephen's College. We've got Channel 7 reporter Ben Murphy on the spot at the school at the moment, where it was reported yesterday that seven students were involved in an overdose emergency at the school. Ben from 7, what's the latest, mate? Well, where did he go to? Here he is right now. Ben, what's the latest? Sorry.
The latest update we have is that of the seven students, six remain in an unstable condition, according to the ambulance officers, and one of them is now in a stable condition. So still a very uncertain situation at this stage, and we'll have to see as the morning progresses how their condition develops.
What are the schools saying? The schools saying that the media is probably blowing this out of proportion, but when you've got seven students, as you say now, six still remain in hospital, five of those unstable, the media's not blowing anything out of proportion.
No, look, I think the coverage has been very fair in this respect, and certainly it's a serious issue. I mean, you've got students taking drugs on school grounds and obviously having very serious repercussions. Toxicology is yet to say exactly what the drug is, but it's suspected to be a Russian designer drug called Phenibut, which has a sedative-type effect. Now, we've been told that Phenibut is that it's a very slow-acting drug, so sometimes what can happen is people don't feel any effect, so they might take extra doses. Okay. And obviously the issue is when that hits, there's an almighty problem, and it's still to be determined if that's happened here, but certainly that's the thinking at the moment, is that it is this Phenibut and that it's been possibly sourced online, including the dark web. It's pretty readily available.
Ben, the big question I think that's scaring parents are what are kids doing buying drugs on the web and distributing them at a school?
Yeah, look, and that, it's very disturbing for parents indeed. And that question, I suppose, will be dissected today as to how this has occurred. And police have already confiscated the mobile phones and devices because, rather bizarrely, I suppose, this has been captured on Snapchat, a video messaging app, we've been told. And so that should, I guess, to some extent show, what's happened here. One of the complications, too, was that students were only slowly coming forward, I suspect probably because they feared repercussions or something like that. And so initially it was only a few students, and then more and more presented, and some were losing consciousness, and it became a pretty horrific situation for the ambulance officers.
Another tough day for St. Stephen's. Of course, they had a very, very sad and nasty incident just 3 weeks ago with a young girl over there. So Ben Murphy from, you're outside St. Stephen's right now. We'll contact you later, mate. Thanks very much for an update.
Thanks, guys.
Ben Murphy from 7. Spider, you were at Southport Sharks last night.
Yeah, assistant coach of the under-12s.
Hang on, are you?
Yes, yeah, I thought I'll put my hand up for a bit of footy.
I feel a bit sorry for the coach, because if you're the assistant, I bet you'd try and do everything.
No, sit back. The coach, he said a good quote to the kids the other day.
What was it?
Train hard and the games become easy. Train easy and the games become hard.
Oh, that is a life quote to remember.
I like it. But look, I thought over the year, being the assistant, we'll go straight to the kids a couple of times throughout the year, get to the bottom of a few local, federal and national topics. Because if anyone knows, the under-12s, they will know. So I thought I'd introduce Tynan, Ben and also Boston to you. Boston, of course, is my son.
Yes.
And we just asked him pretty much simply, what chores do they do around the house? Mm.
So what jobs do you do around the house, Tynan?
I do the dishwasher, I clean my bedroom, I feed the dog, I give the dog water, I pick up the dog's poo, I give the cat water, I feed the cat.
Ben, what do you do?
Well, I feed the dog, I do the water for the chickens and the dog, I feed the chickens, clean my room without being told, I also clean up the dog's poo, I wash down the chicken's poo that's on the concrete.
Okay, Boston, and what do you do?
I don't know, we just go to the toilet.
Okay, now what do you do without being told?
Everything I just said.
Ben?
Making my bed and room without being told and doing my homework without being told.
Boston?
Perfect child and PlayStation, yeah.
You're the only child.
Ben, you've got chickens, you clean up after them. Haven't you got a chicken song?
Oh, yeah. Bethany, you're so pretty, 'cause you're Bethany and you're my chicken. That was for you, Bethany, and I love you very much.
Yeah, look at that. So we'll be catching you with them throughout the year, all the local, federal and national topics.
Yeah, of course. Perfect.
Yeah, Rod, question. Do you follow your children on social media?
No, I don't.
Should you?
I
don't either. And this is a question for parents out there. Do you follow your children on social media? Sheree does. I don't.
Well, the kids will you know, block you or do whatever they need to do if they don't want your parents seeing.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. When did you not become the parent? When did they become the adult in the situation here? Look, I'm sorry. I know I don't have children myself, but no. I know with my sisters. I just think sometimes parents try to be friends and...
No, we're not trying to be friends. I just don't... I think it's... diving into their personal life.
If anyone should dive in, do you think it should be you? Because what if this happened and you went, I had no idea? Yeah, everyone thinks their child's amazing and then this happens and they go, I had no idea.
Yeah, I just don't. I've no interest in following them. I think I chat to them on the phone, yes, but don't follow them socially. And Rod, you're the same. But yeah, I think there's a lot. Well, Sheree does. Sheree follows all of my kids on social media.
But see, then that's okay that you don't, because at least someone does. Like, as in, Sheree does. So at least you know that someone is following them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's a there's a very fine line too between yes, being a friend, being a parent. But there's also a very fine line between invasion of privacy. Like, we never wanted our mum or dad to read our diaries.
Yeah.
So it's a tough one.
You'd follow, yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah.
Lynette of Reedy Creek, how do you cope with social media and how do you deal with it with your kids?
Well, I don't think we're often left with a great deal of choice. My girls will have me on Facebook because Facebook for teenagers is totally uncool, whereas us mums, we all love it. My son has had me barred off Facebook for many years. I'm clueless about their social media activity, and I don't want to be, but they don't want you on there. And also, we cannot keep up with how many new ones come out. You know, Snapchat and this one and Kick and something else. How many do we need to follow as parents? I mean, God, when do we work, sleep, eat, you know?
It's true. It's like there needs to be a course for parents on how to keep up with their kids. There is too much out there, and they know how to block you. They seem to be a step ahead.
Yeah, look.
They're miles ahead of us.
Yeah.
They are. Thank you very much. Thanks, Lynette.
Tanya and Ormo, how do you go? Do you follow your kids on all their social media?
I do. I even have my daughter's password to her Facebook and Snapchat accounts, and that just came about from when she was 13 or so, and that was a mechanism to be a responsible parent. But there are so many others, like we say, that they can private chat and secret messages and whatnot. I think at the end of the day, it comes down to this education. Educate your children that, you know, there's stuff out there that you know, not good for them, and if you've got a question about anything, be open. My daughter, I said, well, if you need to ask me a really bad question, just grab a bottle of wine out of the fridge and come and ask me the question, and it's all okay.
We can
deal with it. But speak to me about it. I've been your age once before.
Well
done, Tanya. Very responsible. Kelly at Palm Beach, how do you cope with it? How do you deal with it?
When my kids were younger, I said to them that I needed their passwords, and at any time I could check their device, as it was my husband and I paying for it. If there was anything inappropriate, it was confiscated.
Right. You are paying for it, Kelly. Fair call.
Yeah, that's right. The rules in place, I suppose, is being able to confiscate it and being on top of it. But, you know, some parents are for it, some are against it. It's such a big thing when you look at what's happened at, you know, St. Stephen's, you kind of think, you know, like it would be, you'd like to be across it.
You don't want to be blindsided. Great calls. Do you monitor your child's social media accounts? All right. Well, this is a horrible situation for everyone involved at our local Gold Coast school.
Yeah, it is really sad that you know, there's still children in hospital from St. Stephen's College. They think it's a drug overdose that they brought online, and we're still waiting for confirmation of all that. But we're asking, do you follow your children on social media? Bridge, you're saying, you know, if you had children, you would.
Well,
I don't. I don't at all. My wife, Cherie, does. Rob McLeod doesn't. And our children are in high school.
Well, I think the thing is, if these videos were posted and images of the incident on Snapchat, we have children in hospital fighting for their lives. Wouldn't you as a parent go, oh my God, I wish I was now?
Yeah.
It's a very, very tough call. A
couple of younger people involved with social media on the phone right now. Eliza of Tweed Heads.
So my mum and I are friends on all my social media. So my Facebook, she always knows what I'm up to. I don't have a secret account. I don't have her blocked. I've got nothing to hide. These kids have taken drugs. Irresponsible, yes. Not Snapchat's fault, not the parents' fault.
No.
They're the ones that are being irresponsible and, you know, it's a bit of a kick because they think they're so cool and they want all their friends to see. Snapchat's a way to do that, don't get me wrong, and some people do use it irresponsibly, but I think, you know, you don't have to have your parents digging into everything you're doing if you've got nothing
but
to hide.
Not being Snapchat's fault, totally, but at the same time, Snapchat is their only device to be cool to all their friends. So those people who, you know, stand on cars going 100 kilometres an hour or jump off, you know, things to make a statement, their devices like Snapchat are pushing them to do these things as well.
Yeah.
No, I completely understand what you're saying. I just think, like, people need to get some brain cells. It's not really, like, obviously Snapchat is a way to share what you're doing.
Thanks so much, Eliza. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Eliza.
And Adam. Adam from Upper Coomera, you're a teenager yourself. Love to hear your angle on this. Do you let your parents in on your social media?
Yeah, I've got my dad on my Facebook, but apart from that, my Instagram and Snapchat, it's sort of my own thing. Like, my parents have brought me up to be able to trust me with it, not post anything stupid and that sort of stuff, but I've just had my dad on that because I rarely use my Facebook, really.
Adam, can you tell me, is there any programs in schools where people come in and tell you that anything you put on Snapchat or whatever, you know, the law can come down on you or you can stop you from job opportunities? Do you get that kind of training at school?
Yeah, we've actually got a school-based police officer that comes in every so often and give us a little chat and that sort of stuff. But the main time they do it is when we've had a big outbreak or a massive problem at school with stuff going around on, like, Snapchat and that sort of stuff. Mm. People film everything nowadays and post it online. So, we do get talks now at high school and all that about it. That's very rare.
Yeah, thank you very much for letting us in. And I think, as you say, something like that should be more consistent. It's like anything you do, they should consistently hear those messages every week.
That's right.
Rather than just after when something bad happens. But, Adam, thanks very much. Enjoy the day at school today.
Yeah, thank you very much. Have a good day, Spider.
He's a father of four, a decorated AFL legend, winner of the Western Port High Grade 4 Knitting Prize. And he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is Spider Spry, hitting the important and not so important issues.
Yeah, it is. And look, I fly a bit, everyone flies a bit, and it's time they brought this thing in around the world. I'm absolutely loving it. It's been on social media. It's been through a couple of papers. Child-free flights. Bring it on.
Oh.
No, listen about these families who, you know, look, they all do the right thing. And I know families have the right to travel whichever airline they want to travel on and whatever time to make it a little bit easier for themselves. And look, no parent out there, you know, tries to make their children restless while they're on an aeroplane. But everyone's been on a flight with a noisy child.
Everyone, but it's not the child's fault.
I know it's not the child's fault, but you know what we need? We do need, and it's about time we get child-free zones. So when you board your plane, it's like Russian roulette. You're thinking, oh, no, 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 not me, not me, not me, not me. Oh, you've done it. I've sat next to a child, and you know if it's a 2-hour, 4-hour, 8-hour flight, it is going, at some stage, be hectic. So business, yes, we got business class already, we got premium, we got extra leg room for those that are taller, and now we need airlines to have family-only zones. So if you're booking on an aeroplane, and I'm using the cutoff age of 10, if you've got any children under the age of 10, there's only one place you can go, and that is in the family zone. The family zone at the bottom of the plane where it is nothing else but families. They can be sick, they can scream, they can do whatever they want. But if you are boarding a plane and you're at the age of, got children under the age of 10, you are in the family zone. So you know what? Everyone else can travel nice and peacefully.
You've been sprayed by spider.
Malcolm.
Prime Minister looking splendid, telegenic on the TV with 60 Minutes on Sunday night. Yeah, you were talking about Lucy or whatever, but were you happy with the interview?
You're a little bit jealous when I speak about my beloved Lucinda Mary Turnbull, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, there's another woman in my life, Bridget, so you'll just have to live with the facts. I thought we came up pretty well on 60 Minutes. We are a loving couple. We are Australia's first couple. And I thought we did a great job. Of course, there was a lot that was revealed on 60 Minutes that was cut out of the show. For example, on Friday nights when we skin up a fatty on the couch to take the edge off. when we sit around making jokes about Manus Island, we've got a really good one. We call it Anus Island.
Malcolm.
And sometimes, I remember Lucy thought it was an episode of MKR. She thought it was Manu's Island. Maybe we need to get Manu and Pete up there. Cook some paleo for them.
That's funny.
And of course, one of the big shocks for me was the fact that Liz Hayes is still alive. She's been in the Deadpool in the office for 3 years now.
Oh, come on.
I'm kidding. We had a terrific time.
Yeah, I can't believe 60 Minutes is still on. But anyway, nice to see you on there, Prime Minister. But as you know, Lucy was very diplomatic about, the old rival, Tony Abbott.
Yes, Sparta. She was. She called him sporting. And she failed to tell Liz that every morning I wake up, my first waking thought is, I hope Tony's dead. And I really do. I hope one day he gets hit by the Manly ferry, just cut in half, and then there's just a piece of him with the budgie smugglers floats in front of my place at Point Piper. There he goes. Good on your tone. I'm kidding, of course, but he is a thorn in my side.
Prime Minister, now, have you stuffed the Barnaby situation up?
Right up.
Yeah, come on.
Royally. I wish I'd never mentioned. I wish I'd never said he'd made a horrendous judgment of error. I shouldn't have gone out and spoken too soon about Barnaby because he comes foil. But he's really starting to annoy me, Barnaby. First of all, the citizenship imbroglio, and now this. He's always wearing his Akubra too. I mean, you're an accountant, Barnaby. You're not from the country. I mean, you know, if you want to be a farmer, be a farmer. Farmer wants a wife? No, you don't, mate. You did. You want a divorce now, and then you want to get with somebody else. I mean, why don't you try acting like a farmer? Sow some seeds. Oh, no, you've done that. Do some threshing. Yes, you've done that too. Cover the herd. Oh, you've done that as well. Well done, Barnaby. You are a farmer. You're very rural.
Very.
Very rural. Oh, what are you singing today, Prime Minister?
Yeah.
Well, something from the Bentley Selector that I think you'll like, Bridgie.
Ooh.
It's a Billy Joel classic. Don't Go Changing, or Just the Way You Are is the name of the song, of course.
Yes.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Ooh. I just love it. Good old Billy Joel.
Yes.
Now, before I go, I want to say that 92.5 Gold FM is rocking paws and pizzazz. It's the big dog expo on March the 4th. Come along, Goldie. We want to break the record to see how many dogs we can get married.
I have some big news.
And Mark, on many occasions, looked at me and said, are we wrecking this film?
It was an act of pure evil.
I never thought I'd have to beg you for a cuddle.
What is it about Shanghai and Nick Kyrgios?
Live from Gold 92.5's breakfast table, it's Bridges Feed.
Yeah, we're just going to cross to our correspondent who's had the eyes peeled all over the Brit Awards. It's happening as we speak. Who are the big winners? Thank you, Peter Spider Everett.
Look, no big winners on the red carpet, but the best international group goes to the Foo Fighters. And they were out here only last month So yay. Congratulations. Fourth time they've won in this category, and they did an awesome, look very impressive. They sang on top of the ski chalet. Oh. They're recreating one of their video clips. So well done to the Phillies. They're the big winners.
Isn't that beautiful? All right, this is a quick segment called Yes, They're Still Alive, Everyone, Don't Panic.
Oh, yeah.
Sean Connery at 87, still alive. Catherine Zeta-Jones, who did a movie with him called Entrapment, great movie, said, thinking of this amazing man today, such wonderful memories and friendship. Everyone freaked out he died. Still alive.
Oh.
Sylvester Stallone.
Saw that.
It was a hoax. He's dead. Always remember to grab life by the throat and do not let go of it until you succeed. And yes, by the way, I'm alive.
Yeah. And nobody can take Rambo down.
No. He's had a bit of work, though. He looks like I've got a candle at home that's been in the sun for a bit. It's drooping, but it's still plasticky. Mark Hamill, as we know from Star Wars, alive, everyone. Everyone thinks he's dead as well. All right, moving on. Did you know that Jennifer Aniston with Justin Theroux only married 2 years? She gets to keep the $500,000 engagement ring by law.
It by
says,
law?
As long as the parties get married, the recipient keeps the engagement ring. Oh, there we go. Yep. You've got some that have
been there, done that. She's still got it.
This is amazing. Queen Elizabeth II. Oh. Kate Middleton, Meghan Markle, move over. It's the Queen who has an eye for fashion. She was.
Yes.
She was in the front row at London Fashion Week, sitting there next to Anna Wintour, who's the big Vogue artistic director, as we know. And but she's in trouble, Anna Wintour, for not taking off her sunglasses. I find that so rude when people don't take off their sunnies.
The Queen didn't care. The Queen was having a ball. She's having a jolly old time.
Not sure if the matching handbags, gloves, hats, and $2 million tiaras are in this season. But she's trying to be really relevant. So next, it's awesome. The Queen's got a guest cameo on Keeping Up the Kardashians, a guest judge on Britain's Got Talent, and a makeup blog on YouTube as we speak. She's so relevant.
Paws and Pizzazz Animal Expo at Century Cove, Sunday, 4th of March.
I want someone to share my life with.
It's when lonely hearts come together.
Oh, I'm definitely lonely.
To find love.
I'm ready to find new love.
To find a life partner.
I really want this to happen for me.
Have you thought about what happens if they get divorced?
AJ, Bridge and Spiders, married at first bite. Woof, woof.
Law 92.5.
Yes, we want you to lob with your dog to Paws and Pizzazz Animal Expo, Sanctuary Cove, Sunday, 4 March. There's some kind of pitiful record in America.
Pitiful.
For the most dogs that turned up.
Is.
We're marrying dogs on the day, and we're going to break a world record on the Gold Coast.
I love the way you guys are involved now. You love it because we want to smash this record.
I've never got a world record.
Haven't you?
Well and truly overdue.
Yes, you do. The most fined AFL player ever in the history.
Yeah, true.
You do.
Okay, I'm going for my second.
All right, 178 dog pairs. Now we need to smash that. And you know what? It's just cute. Let's just get dogs married. Mm. And I want Ted to find his love, who came to the vet the other day, Chloe, who is the cavalier. But Ted's a bit sick at the moment.
Oh.
You've got to get him right.
What is the... Like... I'm not I don't know a lot about the animals.
Yes.
A lot about animals at all. And
no, you don't.
I'm happy to be a part of the world record. I want to be a part of that. And
yes.
Weddings is something I know. But
yes.
Where do you draw the line? Like, if you go to somebody's house or, if you find a new partner, where do you draw the line? Like, are there certain dogs that are in and outside dogs? Like, you have... And it horrifies
don't
me.
What?
But you have your dogs sleep on your bed.
They're super clean, though. Like, I wash them all the time.
I know, but...
They do. I know. I know it's not right. You're not supposed to. But, hey, I'm in bed on my own. Why not? You know, just that they're cute to cuddle and they want to be with me. I don't think it's the right thing to do. I've had partners in the past at my house say, I don't want the dogs on the bed. I'm like, well, it's my bed and it's my house.
What about when you go to somebody's house?
Yes.
And, AJ, and they've got dogs, which is fair enough, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they can't have dogs. But then they watch you eat and they're... Around your feet.
Oh, the ones you got to always throw the ball to. No, but see,
well,
I kind of
you don't kick them. But
what
you're
saying
push
is,
them.
Where do you draw the line?
Well, yeah, even for me with big dogs, when they come to the house with a big tail and they knock everything over all the time. There is a line, and I think with couples, you've got to try and figure out what is the line because some people just say they're outside dogs, some are inside dogs, on the couch.
You go and say, no worries, I'll get a lift down the, somewhere with you, and you look in the back seat and it's just
dog hair. 13, 20, 7, 10. Where do you draw the line with your dog? I tell you what we'll do. We'll throw in a couple of down the green tickets here for calls with James Blunt, Jimmy Blunt, Pete Murray, and Busby Maru's Sarah May Wines. March 11 tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster.
Paws and Pizzazz Animal Expo at Sanctuary Cove, Sunday, 4th of March.
I want someone to share my life with.
It's when lonely hearts come together.
Oh, I'm definitely lonely.
To find love.
I'm ready to find new love.
To find a life partner.
I really want this to happen for me.
Have you thought about what happens if they get divorced?
AJ, Bridge and Spiders, Married at First Bite. Woof, woof.
AJ Bridge and Spider breaking a record for the most dogs getting married on Sunday, March 11. No, it's not Sunday, March 4. I'm looking at Sarah May Wines. We're giving away tickets to that, by the way. Paws and Pizzazz Animal Expo, Sanctuary Cove, Sunday, 4 March.
Didn't you guys underestimate the love that the Golden Tweakers has for their puppies? Everyone loves their dogs and everyone's very defiant.
They do, but I'm really confused because I don't know. Well, I don't know if they should be allowed up on the bed or when you go to somebody's house, they sit there and watch you eat dinner. You know, inside and outside dogs. They're a complicated breed.
Where do you draw the line on 13, 27, 10? Suzanne in Benowa.
I don't believe that you cross the line with any dog. They, you know, that's their house. That's where they live. If you choose to bloody visit and come in, their home.
That's right.
You have to accept what they have.
That's right.
It's like going to somebody else's house and saying, "Oh, can you put your children outside while I'm here?"
Exactly. Thank you, Suzanne. God bless. Come down and register, by the way. You're perfect for our Married at First Bite, Charmaine. Hello. So, what's the go?
Okay, so I draw a line in the way that the dog is outside during the day, yes. So he does come to work and sits in the office with us, but at home he's not allowed in unless it's night time, he has a bed and he's able to have his sleep through the night and in the house and then out in the day. And also, I bought a dual cab Navara with a canopy so that he can come in the car, but I just can't stand the stench of a dog or hair in my actual car.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Oh, well done. That's great. You've got it all worked out. Thanks, Charmaine. Lachlan, Loggy, where do you draw the line with your dogs?
So our dog Chloe's got a bit of a blurred line, to be honest. So with everyone in the family, she's not allowed up on the bed, not allowed on the lounge, can't come around us when we eat, but she's kind of my favourite child. So with him, she can get away with whatever she wants.
See, I like it. I like a dog like that.
Oh, no, it causes havoc. Nadine in Upper Coomera, where do you draw the line?
I don't draw the line with my dogs. I draw the line with people.
Yay!
So,
said by a true dog lover.
So I suppose dinner date's out between myself and Nadine.
Yeah, there we go.
Jane at Mermaid Waters, do we draw the line with dogs?
I didn't actually know there was a line I was supposed to be drawing.
Thank you. Exactly. We're allowed to do anything in the house?
Well, when I first got her from animal welfare, she was supposed to sleep in the laundry and sit on the floor. Well, she sleeps on my bed next to me and sits on the couch.
Oh, they're good crawlers, aren't they? They get their way. Thanks, Jade.
Hey, congratulations to Nadine at Upper Coomera. You won't be dating Nadine.
No.
You are off to a day on the green. Jimmy Blunt, Mrs. Blunt's little boy, Jimmy, Pete Murray, Busby Maru, Sarah May Wines, Up the Hill, March 11. Be great show. Tickets on sale now from Ticketmaster, by the way.
You can't take your dogs there, but you can take them down. Paws and Pizzazz.
Yep.
Next Sunday, March the 4th, register at goldfm.com.au. We want to smash this world record.
We certainly do. And Big L is on next, and he's wearing denim on denim today.
I'm up for that. I love D&D. Hey,
it's a lot of blue. He's wearing a lot of blue. He looked like he just come out of the Outback Spectacular.
AJ, Bridge and Spider for breakfast.
Weekdays from 5 on 92.5 Gold FM.